All right, Alexander, let's talk about Italy. We are a couple of days removed now from the EU finance minister meeting and the new bailout deal, which is based on old bailout deals that they've conjured up. And once again, we're going to be talking about ESMs and austerity and reforms and all kinds of things. But for now, the EU is ready to dish out about half a trillion euros to the hardest hit countries suffering from the CV and its after effects. Italy, of course, is probably top on that list, Italy and Spain. And, they're going to be looking at that money and trying to figure out, does it make any difference at all? And it looks like we're starting to see some pushback now. What's going on?
Well, not just pushback. I understand that in Italy now there is a major row. Bear in mind, this is a very fragile and in some ways unhappy coalition in Italy. It brings together the Democratic Party, which is now the establishment party in Italy. It is the pro-EU establishment party, formerly led by Matteo Renzi, who is Italian Prime Minister, and who I should say, has. Its basis, its history, is in the former Italian Communist Party, but it evolved into a sort of centrist, liberal, neoliberal grouping, and it became the dominant party in Italy a couple of years ago, and it has been unswervingly loyal and faithful to the EU. So that's one part of the coalition, and the other part is the supposedly anti-EU, anti-establishment Five Star Movement, which was at one time in coalition with Matteo Salvini's Lega Nord, the Northern League. Anyway, Salvini is, I think, the genuine thing. I mean, he is a genuine anti-EU skeptic. The Five Star Movement, it turned out, weren't, and they went into coalition with the Democratic Party after they ousted Salvini. And in fact, they're trying to bring together criminal charges against Salvini. And so this is a coalition of anti-Salvini parties in Italy, but not perhaps a very compatible coalition. And the supporters of the Five Star Movement must feel very bewildered, must have felt already very bewildered about the way in which the Five Star Movement, supposedly an anti-establishment party, went into coalition with Italy's most establishment party. Anyway, so what has happened is that the Italian people and the Italian media and some members of the Five Star Movement, and of course Salvini himself, looked at what the Italian negotiators came back from this EU summit with. The Italians went to that summit meeting saying that they wanted corona bonds, that they wanted debt mutualization, that they wouldn't accept a bailout under any circumstances whatsoever. And what they've come back with is no corona bonds and bailouts. So they've ended up agreeing, as they always do, to what the EU demanded of them, ditching all the things that they were previously insisting on. So now you're having all sorts of people from the Five Star Movement, MPs of the Five Star Movement, standing up and saying, this is completely unacceptable. And what were you doing when you went into this negotiation? And of course, Salvini is running riot, as we predicted, and saying that this is a complete betrayal of Italy and a total sellout. And people who said that Italy would not accept more loans and would not agree to a bailout have now just gone ahead and done precisely that. Salvini and the dissidents are right. We will see where this goes, whether it will pass the Italian chamber, because I understand there have to be votes there. We will see whether the Italian government in the end survives this. And we will see whether the Italian government, even if it survives this, will screw up the courage and borrow money in the way that this envisages. But we will see. But whatever happens, I predict that there will be many much bigger political ructions in Italy now, because this is essentially the EU doing exactly what it did in 2009, 10, 11, 12, during the Eurozone crisis. It's following the same book all over again, and the Italian establishment has again capitulated and agreed to it.
Well, that is the plan, isn't it, Alexander, that Italy is going to borrow the money, and then the conditions will kick in.
Exactly.
The reforms, the austerity, all that stuff is going to kick in.
Exactly.
Italy can't survive without a big cash injection.
No, it can't.
The economy can't stand on its own two feet without a big cash injection, given the fact that they don't control their currency.
Well, precisely right. They can't control their currency. They can't run big deficits. They can't ease their monetary policy. They have no power to do any of those things. They can't do QE. I mean, the Bank of Italy can't do QE. The European Central Bank can, but that's supposed to be a global pan-European project. When Draghi was the head of the European Central Bank, he was able to direct some of this funding, or a disproportionate part of this funding, to Italy. But Christine Lagarde is not Italian, and she may not have those kind of intentions. In fact, she signaled that she doesn't. So more loans to an Italy that is already, to all intents and purposes, insolvent. How does Italy repay those loans? Very difficult to see how it repays those loans. But as night follows day, when it runs into problems in the markets, which it will, at some point in the not very distant future, it will have to come back to the EU, cap in hand, and ask for still more money to pay back all these extra loans that it's now going to take out. And then you can be sure, as night follows day, that the Germans and the Dutch are going to demand stringent conditions. They're going to demand more reforms, which means more taxes, more controls on the budget, a reduction in the Italian government's discretionary spending, cutbacks on pensions, all those sort of things.
Selling
of state assets, all those sort of things. So Italy is once again caught in a trap, which its own political leaders are leading it into, because they had an opportunity to take a stand at these meetings and they didn't.
So, I mean, they voluntarily checkmated themselves, as every other country in Europe, by agreeing to this ESM bailout in Europe. Agreeing to this, all these countries that are going to need a crap load of money have checkmated themselves. There's nowhere to turn.
No, exactly. I mean, we did a program a short while ago about Pedro Sanchez, the Prime Minister of Spain, who did an article in The Guardian in which he, again, took a stand for debt mutualization. In other words, corona bonds, because that's what he means, or euro bonds, because that's what he means. And he basically said, you know, it's make or break for Europe unless we get it. He didn't get it. Instead of insisting on it, he also agreed to this. So what was all that, you know, fire and thunder that he was, you know, talking about in The Guardian? As we said in that program, if you follow his own logic, the logic of the arguments he is making, he has signed up Spain to a project that cannot succeed and which is bound to fail and which is going to lead to the collapse of the European Union. But he has signed up to it. Now, again, just to make this completely clear, I should make it very, very clear to some of our viewers, because I've had some feedback from this after we did the Sanchez program. I am not in favor of corona bonds. I do not agree with debt mutualization. I think that it's absolutely right that some people were trying to pressure the Germans into agreeing to corona bonds and using this crisis in order to force debt neutralization. And the person I'm thinking of here is Emmanuel Macron. But I don't think this is a good idea for Europe at all. I think it simply kicks the can down the road. I think it is simply another way of keeping the euro going, which is a terrible thing. The right thing to do for all these countries, Italy, Spain, Greece, Portugal, all the rest, is for them to leave the euro and for there to be a structured arrangement to bring this euro to an end. But it's quite clear that when faced with the Germans, because it is ultimately the Germans who won't agree to euro bonds, rather than make the decision to leave the euro, these establishment politicians will in the end back down and agree to further loans, which are simply putting their countries in ever bigger debts. So if you want to see this change, and for the sake of the people of Spain, Italy, Greece, Portugal, all the others, it has at some point to change in order to avoid the inevitable breakdown, which will one day happen. Be very clear, this cannot go on indefinitely. The right thing to do is to vote for people who will bring this to an end. That's not going to be, unfortunately, anyone that I can see in Greece, because after what Tsipras did, there's no real opposition in Greece. But with Salvini, perhaps Italy has a chance. And it only takes one person to finally call this, to finally call a stop to this thing. And Italy, the third biggest economy in the EU, right, is probably the country best positioned to do it.
Right. When you mean leave the euro, you mean leave the eurozone, the currency.
Leave the eurozone. I don't mean leave the EU, but I mean leave the eurozone.
The best way forward, if I can just kind of summarize what you're saying, the best way forward is try for this European Union idea, this grand idea. The best way forward for everyone is to keep the idea of the European community, the EU as a community, but the actual currency, the eurozone, needs to be
done with. Well, can I say something? I mean, if you think that there is any value to a European community, which I know many of our viewers, by the way, don't, but, you know, I mean, you need to understand that holding on to the euro is discrediting the idea of the European community. And if there is going to be a chaotic collapse, the idea of a European community of nations is going to be dead. They're going to kill it. So either go ahead with a structured breakup of the eurozone, in which case perhaps you can return to the idea of a European community, or have a chaotic collapse of the eurozone and of the euro, in which case you will end up with nothing. Because to be very clear about this, if the European community is destroyed, if the European Union is destroyed, there is no way back. No one is going to want to get back into a situation where the Italians and the Germans are lumped together again, even in a loose community, let alone a union, if we have a catastrophic breakdown, which is where this thing is going to end. Sooner or later.
100% it's going to end in a breakdown. 100%. Well, there's no way out for these countries. No way out.
I'm afraid so, because I'm going to say something else. I mean, if Salvini becomes prime minister of Italy, if he has a 75% majority, which, by the way, I think is quite possible. I mean, I think things are starting to move in that direction. And he decides to take Italy unilaterally out of the eurozone. It will be unilateral, because I don't see the Germans or the French or any of the others agreeing to that. I think it's going to be a massive argument. And instead of everybody coming together and doing this together, one country, which may be Italy, will do it by itself. And that will be the chaotic, catastrophic collapse of the whole structure that we're talking about. It's a house of cards, if you take out one of the bottom cards, the whole thing will come tumbling down. What you need to do is to take the cards down one by one by one by one, and that requires everybody to agree. Will the Germans ever agree? I don't see it.
All right. Alexander McCurse, thank you very much. Guys, if you like this video, click on the subscribe button down below. Smash that like button as well. And please donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. Your donation really helps out this channel a lot. And please check out all our merchandise at the Duran Shop, theduranshop.com. Pick up some magic mugs. Pick up some awesome polo shirts, t-shirts, v-necks, all kinds of good things. Alexander.
Indeed so. And here we have all these amazing things that we have on our shop. Now, I'm going to start with our magic mugs because I absolutely adore my magic mug. And you can see that Alex also has his own magic mug there. Now, I have several of them. As I said, I decide from time to time which I am going to have, and I stick with it for a couple of days. So if you've seen me with this mug for a little while, that's the reason. But I always go eventually to the others. And this particular one has the double-headed eagle of the Russian Federation, which you will also find on Vladimir Putin's mugs and cups and saucers and plates and things of that kind in the Kremlin. Ours is a far better mug than anything that Putin drinks from. I say that unequivocally because this is the best mug I have ever owned. And I have owned hundreds and scores of mugs. Not one of them has remotely matched this quality. It is a beautiful mug. It is strong and light. It is a joy to hold. It keeps your tea and your coffee hot, and it keeps your beer and your champagne cold. So these are the best mugs you will ever find. And by the way, our viewers who buy them also think so. I would point out, by the way, that after so many years, every one of these mugs that I've had have smashed. This one, I've had it now for a year and a half, and you can see it's in perfect condition. And I'm a person who, as I said, goes through mugs very fast. These, all my Duran mugs, are incredibly perfect. Not a chip, not a crack, not a sign of discoloration. And it's not just mugs that we make of supreme quality. We also make the most amazing shirts. These polo shirts are wonderful. They're 100% cotton. They're immensely stylish. You can wear them at the most stylish places. You can go to a fancy restaurant and wear one there. You can go to a party. You can wear one there too. You can go walking out in the park with your dogs, as I do, and you can wear that too. And these shirts, 100% cotton, beautifully made, also incredibly hard wearing, and they all come with a double-headed eagle of the Duran, which is different, by the way, from the Russian eagle. So we don't just have polo shirts in many colors, by the way. We also have t-shirts, long-sleeved and short-sleeved, also 100% cotton. We also have v-neck shirts. All our shirts are of amazing quality and equally hard wearing. We also have hats, hoodies, and stickers. And we have ebooks. We have four ebooks at the moment on Russiagate, Ukrainegate, Epstein, and Brexit. We're preparing more. And every cent of profit we make from them, in fact, every cent we make from them, we now give to charities that support health workers in the United States, a specific fund which supports health workers who are having to deal with this corona crisis. And we also do that. The fund we're backing provides them food from caterers who are also having small caterers who are also in huge trouble and under enormous pressure because of the lockdowns. So we're also supporting health workers, food caterers. If you buy these books, you will also learn all sorts of amazing things from them. You will own amazing things if you buy our merchandise, our mugs and our shirts and our other things, and you'll be supporting the Duran too. So come to us, come to our shop, support the Duran, support the caterers, buy these things for yourself. Alex will tell you how.
Just go to theduranshop.com. You'll find a link in the description box down below, and you'll also find a link to Feed the Fight as well, where we are donating our ebook proceeds. Alexander McCurse, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.